This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, there's this old saying, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. And I think that's apropos for the two teams we're going to talk about, as well as the other teams that are coming and going in the NFL playoffs. And that is the team that has loved and lost, and that is the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills, once again, are not going to the Super Bowl. They're not going to the AFC title game. They're done in the divisional round. They lose to the Kansas City Chiefs again, this time at Highmark Stadium. And they do so with a heroic effort from the quarterback, but they do so also with mistakes from the quarterback, and mistakes from the receivers, and mistakes from the kickers, and mistakes from the defense. And they do so against a Kansas City Chiefs team that everybody was wondering, gee, they just don't quite look the same. But one thing that you had to understand about the Chiefs' season was they may have not been the most explosive offense in the NFL, but they had two things going for them. Well, three, really. They had Patrick Mahomes, they had Travis Kelce, and they had a whale of a defense. They had one of the best defenses in the league. And when push came to shove, using that dime package that kept that safety rotation, Josh Allen could not find guys downfield. He could find the checkdowns, but he could not go downfield a lot. And when they needed him to, he was unable to do that. It's better to love and lost. That's the Bills. This is a fan base, if they're old enough, that remembers going to four straight Super Bowls and losing all four straight Super Bowls. Some in an embarrassing fashion, like Super Bowl 27. Some in a heartbreaking fashion, like Super Bowl 25, where they lost to a Scott Norwood kick at the end. Some to the silliness of Thurman Thomas forgetting his helmet, couldn't make it to the play in their game against Washington. And another one in the cold in Atlanta, inside the dome, they had Emmitt Smith run all over them. But then there was a period, in a long period of time, where they weren't really relevant again. But in between that, they had the Music City Miracle, in which they led the Tennessee Titans and they were kicking off. Simple kickoff. Just get the guy. And that's it. And we win. But Kevin Dyson, that was it. Titans run down the field on the kickoff, and it's the Music City Miracle. And it breaks Doug Flutie and Rob Johnson's heart. And then they have this run. They get the right quarterback. They seemingly have the right head coach. And they've got tremendous players on both sides. And they produce win after win after win during the regular season. 58 in the last 5 years. And when they get to this moment, it's very similar to really good golfers who just caught Tiger Woods. Right? Very similar to what we said in the AFC all those years with Brady. How good Roethlisberger was. How good Manning was. And then there was a period of time where it was all Brady and the Patriots. Now, don't get me wrong. Roethlisberger got his. Manning got his. But there was a period where they felt like they could have gotten more, but there was a juggernaut that existed at the time of their greatness. And that's what's happening to Buffalo. This was a 6-6 football team. A 6-6 football team. They fired their offensive coordinator. They looked absolutely terrible in their game against Denver, who hadn't really shown the Denver side. Remember when Denver was good and they were making a little run for the playoffs? That Denver hadn't really popped up yet. 12 men on the field on a missed field goal gave the Broncos another chance to win the game. Then they make the change and they decide we're going on a run. And it starts in Kansas City. And they beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead. Because they can beat the Chiefs in the regular season. But the money, the cash, is made in the playoffs, and they can't do that. They won six straight, went from a 6-6, I don't really like your chances of making the playoffs, and maybe the window is closed, to a number two seed in the AFC, en route beating Dallas and Miami to get that number two seed. And it gave Buffalo exactly what they wanted. We don't have to go to Arrowhead now. We'll have the game here. In front of Bills Mafia, home cooking. And it doesn't matter because even when Kansas City has a year in which we go, Patrick Mahomes is still Patrick Mahomes, and the greats find a way to squeeze out just enough. But the Bills defense let Kansas City score on five of the first six drives of the game. It was wide open. And the Buffalo Bills find themselves going home once again. The heartbreak is real because there's the closeness of the glory is right there. Now let's go to another side. On that line, better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Well, there's a team now that's loving it. And that's the Detroit Lions. Before the game against Tampa Bay, they showed a guy who had been a season ticket holder of the Lions since the 50s. And he's never experienced anything. The glory days of the time, yeah, but once the Super Bowl era started, the Lions have been nothing. They've gone to one conference championship game. They've never been to a Super Bowl. But the Lions' fate is a lot different than the Bills' fate, right, in terms of their fans. For most of the existence of most Lions fans, the Lions haven't been good at all. They've had great players. Arguably one of the greatest running backs to ever run the football. Calvin Johnson, one of the top wide receivers of his time. Matt Stafford, number of great players. But never great team. They're not like Buffalo that has tasted something so great they just wanted more of it and we could just bite the apple, get that trophy. Detroit's never even been close to the trophy except that one conference championship game. They played Washington, Redskins at the time, then go to Super Bowl. Who'd they beat? Buffalo. But nevertheless, it's neither here nor there. For the most of the last 40, 50 years, the Lions have been irrelevant, out of it. One time they went 0-16. And now they're one game away from going to the Super Bowl. I feel for Buffalo fans. I feel for Buffalo fans in a way that I never felt for Lions fans in my entire life. When you're out of the picture, when you're not in the conversation in January, it's very hard to get acquainted with something that people in a town or a city want so badly. I remember Super Bowl 25. My father's a gigantic Giants fan. I was pulling for the Giants. I was pulling for my dad's team. They had Jeff Hostetler. They had lost Phil Sims during the regular season. They were going up against the Bills team. It was way too strong. And I remember being really excited. But I also remember being smart enough to know that Buffalo was a good team. Really, really good team. Bruce Smith on one side of the ball. Andre Reed on another with Jim Kelly. Thurman Thomas. They had a great team. Marv Levy. And I knew they'd be back. I didn't think they'd be back three more times. And I didn't think they'd be back three more times against two other opponents, also from the NFC East, that would beat them in the Super Bowl. And in one game, they turned the ball over nine times. But I remember how heartbreaking that city was. Heartbroken. And now they're feeling these things again because they can't get past this one team, this one guy, this one coach. They can't get past Kansas City. Their only answer, I swear, as a Steeler fan, trust me on this, the only answer is to have somebody else take care of them for you. I know. Because as a Steeler fan, in the era of the Brady-Belichick greatness, the Steelers went to three Super Bowls. They won two of them. Not one time. In the 20 years of Belichick Brady, did they beat New England in the playoffs? How do you get to a Super Bowl without beating Belichick and Brady? You let somebody else take care of that for you. That might be the answer for Buffalo. I mean, I'm sure you ask them to a man, they'll all say, no, we'll take Kansas City every time. We'll one day, one. Eventually, it's going to wear on you. For whatever reason, whatever that team has, they go to Buffalo, they go to Arrowhead, doesn't matter. 13 seconds, doesn't matter. 44-yard field goal to tie it, just sit back. And oh, by the way, and we'll get into more details of the game coming up. Even if that ball had gone through the uprights, let's stop pretending that Patrick Mahomes didn't have a minute 44 left to get 3 points to win the game. Because Buffalo's defense wasn't doing anything to really slow down the Kansas City Chiefs. You know what slowed down the Kansas City Chiefs? Mecole Hardman fumbling the football through the end zone. No, it was not a good effort. I will give Josh Allen all the credit in the world. He had two touchdown runs, threw for a touchdown. But man, oh man, you can only put the ball so much more in Stephon Diggs' hands before he drops it. But the Chiefs' defense is the unsung hero of this because Patrick Mahomes deserves a ton of credit. Travis Kelce deserves a ton of credit. Andy Reid deserves a ton of credit because they did devise a couple of wrinkles into this offense. We've been picking on their wide receivers for dropping passes. But this is a defense that has been one of the top defenses in the NFL. But when your quarterback is the face of the league, you're not going to get as looked at in the same way. So we're going to get to the Bills and the Chiefs because that was not only the cherry on top of the weekend Sunday, it probably was the cherry, the chocolate bar, the marshmallow topping, I mean, chocolate syrup, caramel, everything. Because it really was the at the end of three games, when you were done with three games, there was a sense that this really was the show. Not to say that the Lions and the Bucks or the Packers and the 49ers or the Texans and the Ravens were opening acts to what they were doing, but at the beginning of the weekend, if you said to me, only one, you can only watch one, I'm locking you in a closet, I'm picking Bills and the Chiefs because of the history, the value of what I'm getting between the two quarterbacks, the fact that two top teams, you know, in the AFC and the NFC, we're playing teams I did not think were games were not going to be competitive, right on one, completely wrong on the other. Oh, and I'm getting to that, by the way. Not a lot of hosts like to admit when they've made a huge mistake. I made a huge mistake in Saturday's game with the Packers and the 49ers. And the Lions get to celebrate one more game. We'll get to all of that coming up this weekend. A wild and fun AFC and NFC playoff weekend. We'll get to it coming up as we continue on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
There is a lot to unpack. Again, four games into the divisional rounds. Look, I'll make a point about the first game out of the gate. Congratulations, Houston. What a season. That's all I got. Great season. Great season. You know what? Sometimes you just run into a better team. They ran into a better team.
No,
it's 10-10 at halftime. I thought, hey, we might have something here, but it's too much.
I thought so, too. But you know what? They couldn't get anything generated on offense.
They didn't score an offensive point. I mean, the only touchdown they had, well, they had a field goal, and then they had the punt return for a touchdown. And that was it. The Ravens' defense was too strong. Lamar Jackson was too good. Okay, that's fine.
The mood in Houston is this. God, the future looks bright.
Yeah, of course. And it should be. It should be. I mean, at the end, look, you know why? Because here I'm going to make a difference. Because I've been asking this question a lot about these teams that barely got in or surprisingly got in. And in Houston's case, they basically played a playoff game in week 18, right? Playing Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Win goes to the playoffs. And they won that game, and then they won their game against Cleveland, and they played this game, which is, again, it's the house money question I've been using all the time. You feel like it's house money, but when you do have it, it's really your money. And if you lose it, you did lose something. Like, if you lose $1,000 that you won at a casino, you could have had the $1,000, and it's the same idea, which is you're in the playoffs. Like, a win moves you forward. I mean, yes, you can feel the emotions of, hey, I didn't expect this. Hey, this is unexpected. Wow, this is awesome. But does it hurt when you lose? And I think in this case, because of the way the Ravens came out in the second half and just dominated the game, I think it's a slow sort of, all right, I get where this is going. We're not good enough yet, but man, the future is extremely bright. If you're a Packers fan, that's a different feeling. That has to be a different feeling than the Texan fan. And it's the same circumstance.
Yes, it is.
It's the same circumstance. Now, Jordan Love is not a rookie. That's the difference I'm going to make. Is Jordan Love is not a rookie. He's a guy that's been in the meetings. He's watched Aaron Rodgers. He's been on the team playing. He's carried the clipboard, all of that for the years until he's become a starter. But it's his first year as a starter, like C.J. Stroud's first year as a starter. They just have different levels of NFL experience being on a team. But that being said, no one thought that the Packers would be a playoff team. Then they won three straight to get in. And then they got in, and then they won their opening game, and then beating Dallas, of all teams, by the way, crushed them. And then they went to San Francisco, and I was dead wrong, dead wrong. I said a ton of things about that game that I could not see happening. Now, weather and rain had a factor in this, okay? But, like, for example, remember when I said, I just can't see the 49ers leaving wide receivers wide open like Dallas did. But they did, and a lot of it was because they were slipping on the wet turf and finally had to change cleats. But nevertheless, there were wide-open wide receivers for the Green Bay Packers. And I didn't think Jordan Love and the Packers would be able to run the ball as well as they did, and they did.
Aaron Jones is a player.
Was fantastic. That's an incredibly good young football team.
All of a sudden, I was realizing about Aaron Jones was, okay, he missed most of the season, because of a hamstring.
Right.
How much better would this team be if he was started all 16?
Absolutely,
or 17
great
games?
Point. Great point. Maybe they don't need to win three straight.
Yeah, I think they would have won the division running away. Or would have been competing with the Lions, toe to toe all the way down the stretch.
I'm a little grizzled because I've been doing this for a very long time, so I never really get caught up. I say many times that sometimes you just have a bad game, sometimes you don't look good, but you get a reset button and you can look fantastic. But I was not impressed with the 49ers at all.
Not at all.
At all.
They looked so vulnerable.
Looked very, very vulnerable. They thank God for George Kittle. Thank God for Christian McCaffrey. Brock Purdy didn't look all that fantastic to me. But nevertheless, he didn't throw a pick. And Jordan Love threw two, including the one at the end, which is just a heartbreaker. It's a heartbreaker because it's forcing a ball he didn't need to force.
Yeah.
I mean, he had some seconds on the clock. They're down three. You got to be a little bit more careful in this situation. Don't panic. Just go, hey, listen, I don't need to force it over the middle. I can get, maybe I'll take seconds off the clock, but I'll fight in another way. He did throw a bad throw. You don't throw across your body when the goal is, let's efficiently drive down the field. You don't have to do that. Wasn't it desperation, hope it's completed and everybody does 20 laterals to the end zone. It was turn the ball over. But, McCaffrey was great when they needed him to be great. And Kittle was great early when they needed him to be great. And then they did change the cleats out because they looked terrible in the first half. Apparently, they had the wrong equipment.
But it does watching the Niners play Saturday does make the NFC Championship a little more interesting.
Yeah.
Because before that, right now, the way the Ravens played against Houston, and I know it's against Houston, it's a young team, but I don't see how the Chiefs can beat the Ravens.
See how the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes and five previous AFC championship games could beat the Ravens.
For that, I'm looking just on paper. All right, just on paper, I'm ignoring the eye test right now and the history.
Okay.
Just looking on paper, the Ravens seem to be too complete on both sides of the ball.
They're
so
very
than the
complete.
Chiefs.
Very true.
Right?
But
I thought the same way about the Niners until I saw Saturday, and then it just opened up all these doors. I know weather played into it, but the defense didn't look that great either. And I just sat there, I'm like, wow, this really opens the door. I mean, could we actually see the Lions in the Super Bowl? Because the Lions looked really good.
The Lions did look good. Buccaneers were in that game, though. I'll give them that.
No,
The Buccaneers were fighting to be in that game.
Baker
they did
came
silence
to play.
The crowd a number of times. Baker Mayfield can play.
And he needs Baker.
They'll sign him.
I really hope you're QB1.
They'll sign him. There's nobody else.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, you can trade for Kirk Cousins. You can ask about Russell Wilson. Those are the two ones in the offseason that'll be the names.
Yeah.
But yeah, Baker Mayfield's
the
players
right
love Baker Mayfield. They think he goes balling when he goes out there. All right. Story time real quick. There's a point. 1989, the Steelers opened up the season with two straight losses. Not only did they lose two straight games to open the season, they were outscored 92-10 in the first two games of the year. It looked terrible, absolutely terrible. But they got in. I think they were 9-7 that year, and they got in. And they needed a million things to happen, and it happened for them. They needed the Giants to beat the Raiders. They needed a Monday night game between the Bengals and the Vikings or something. It was crazy. They needed a bunch of help. They got the help they needed, and they got in the playoffs. They were playing the Oilers, division rival at the time, and they went down to Houston, and they beat Houston. Gary Anderson kicked a field goal, and they won the game. It was kind of surprising. It was really surprising. And it was, yay, look at this. Not a very great season, but a season good enough to make the playoffs, and we won the wild card game. And then they went to Denver to face John Elway and the Broncos. And everybody told me, you're going to get killed when you get to Denver. You're going to get killed when you get to Denver. And I'm like, yeah, I know, whatever. But this is great. It's been a season so far. Well, that game, they didn't get killed. They were in the game the whole way. And Bubby Brister was their quarterback at the time, and they were right there. And Merrill Hodge was on the team as well. And then the Steelers had the ball, and the place was loud, and they were trying to drive down the field in the final few minutes. And Brister couldn't hear, and they couldn't hear, and the shotgun snap exchange was a fumble. The Broncos recovered it, and they sealed the win. I remember being devastated, even though I had basically watched a season that had really given me nothing. Well, 9-7, barely get in, not a really great team, but they almost pulled off a huge upset against Denver. It would have rippled the NFL if the Steelers had won that game. It would have rippled the NFL. That was not a great team, and Denver was a very good team. We are talking late 80s Super Bowl Broncos. Okay, not quite the Super Bowl champ Broncos of the late 90s. We're talking the Three Amigos, John Elway, Dan Reeves. Like, we're talking all of that. It was devastating. I was devastated because the currency was right in my hand, right? I was like, we are in this game. That's what I think. That's where I think the Packers are at right now, is that I think the Packer fans have every right to be disappointed that they lost that game. Now, again, a day or two later, you kind of calm down and realize the magnitude of what you just did. You made the playoffs in Jordan Love's first year at quarterback. You beat the Dallas Cowboys when people said no one's beating Dallas in Dallas. Not only did you beat them, you demolished them. They were never in the game. But this one, it was there. It was there. And it's not Carlson missing a field goal. That certainly helped. But it really was just not quite enough. But if you're going to get San Francisco vulnerable, you got to take advantage of it. That's what I was talking about with the Kansas City Chiefs earlier. All season long, we weren't that impressed with Kansas City. We were wondering, you know, they win some, they lose some. They never looked that flashy. The Bills can't beat that team at home. You never beaten them. Are you kidding me? You're gonna only beat them when everyone is gone and Patrick Mahomes 37. It's a more of a devastating blow. And like I said earlier, I think with Houston, I think it is the you just go up against a juggernaut sometimes and you go, that's what happens. Well, we're good. We made it. We got a bright future. Our quarterback is gonna be the starter. We don't have any worries because other rookie quarterbacks, we don't know. Like Kenny Pickett, we don't know. Mac Jones, we don't know. Other guys that have had some little bit of a success and you feel like there's the guy and the next thing you know, shoot, where did that all go? That's not going to happen to C.J. Stroud. That's not happening to C.J. We're not going to wonder next year if C.J. Stroud can play in the NFL. He can play in the NFL. But other quarterbacks have gone down this with first-round picks where it's like, oh, shoot, we made the wrong one. Maybe it's Carolina. I don't know. Carolina was a bad team. Maybe they get a little better and Bryce Young really learns the ropes. But you don't have any second to worry about that with C.J. Stroud and the Texans. They are going to be here. They're going to be projected to be better and better and better because they're all young and they're all going to stay there. But the Niners looked extremely vulnerable, extremely vulnerable. All right, we'll get to the Lions. More on the Bills-Chiefs game, including the rule that could have really changed the game and maybe the thought process of the NFL owners. That's all coming up. NFL, wild divisional round.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we dive into more playoff action from the NFL over the weekend. So, Jim Nantz, I'm going to give Jim Nantz all the credit in the world, man. Tyler Bass's kick goes wide right, and he goes, dreaded two words in Buffalo.
That was, I mean, perfect.
Brilliant.
It was one of those things, like, did he have that pre-written?
That's what I was thinking about that.
Yeah, whenever I hear something like that, I'm like, did he just jot that down in the notes just in case?
What a lot of people don't know is how much conversation is going on in your head earpiece when you're doing television. And I wonder how many, you know, as they were lining up that field goal, did somebody go, wouldn't it be wild if it went wide right? You know, like there's so many minds in the truck that you can listen to. And I wonder if either A, he just knew it because he's a smart guy. He's like an encyclopedia, or somebody just said it as a joke. And he went, holy cow, that's a great point. Keep that in mind as the kick goes, because he had it ready to go. I mean, as soon as it was sailing right, he had it ready coming out of the arsenal.
And that took a weird movement to the ball.
That thing had no chance.
It looked like it was going, and then it was just like there was a string attached to it, and somebody yanked it really hard.
Oh, it was whoop, zero chance. Yeah. Zero chance. And again, I get it with kickers, man. Your job is to kick it through the uprights. There's no other excuse. You either are successful or you're out of a job. That's it. There's no, like, wiggle room. There's no, like, gray area where like quarterbacks get like a gray area where they're like, yeah, he struggles with this, but boy, he does this well, or he does this well, or he does this well. Running backs, he may have fumbleitis, but man, when he hits that hole, he's, oh man, he just bursts through. He can gain 7 yards per carry when he holds on to the football. It's either you make kicks or you don't make kicks and you don't work in the league anymore. Like Matt LaFleur looked like he was going to fire Andres Carlson the second they were on the plane after that game. It's like, guys, got to make kicks. There's plenty of people that can make kicks. They only need 32 of you to do it. And neither one. Green Bay had a kick that would have tied the game or given them extended their lead, right, at the time when they made the kick. And then the Bills had a chance to tie it. I'm not as mad about the Bills situation because I think Patrick Mahomes takes his dear sweet time going down the field on that Bills porous defense and gets either 3 points or possibly 7 just to ice it. Because that defense did nothing. I mean, outside of a kneel down, again, the Chiefs scored on 5 of the first 6 possessions. That includes the kneel down at halftime. They didn't punt until late in the game. And Bill's defense was, and then, of course, we've got to get to the call. So this game was almost decided on the fumble through the end zone rule. And boy, was it fun to watch that on Twitter just explode.
So there's always got to be a rule change after these two teams play,
yeah,
isn't there?
They went to the overtime rule and went, no, we're doing that differently. The Bills didn't get the ball in overtime. That's a shame.
It's really the... What this game is all about now is, you know, changing the rule book.
Yeah. And they just went, okay. And then now they're like, NFL is discussing whether the fumble through the end zone rule that gives the touchback to the defense should be continued. What are they going to do? Here's my problem with the rule. Everyone said it's the worst rule in sports. I, at one point, said it was the worst rule in sports, but it's one of those scenarios where I don't like it, but I honestly don't know what the right answer is. Like, I really don't know. And when I defend that second point, it sounds like I'm defending the first point, and I'm not defending the first point. People were saying that if you fumble the ball through the end zone, the offense should get the ball at the 1 yard line. Why? We don't do that in any other scenario. Why? And by the way, it's not out of bounds. It's through the end zone. So no, the offense shouldn't get the ball at the point of the fumble. We don't give the offense the ball at the point of the fumble in any other situation. If it goes out of bounds, okay, but that's not out of bounds. That's still the field of play, and it goes through the end zone. That's a lot different than out of bounds. But at the same time, a touchback, just doesn't it seem way too much to give the defense? Doesn't it feel like you're giving the defense a lot with the touchback? Like you're giving them the ball at the 20? So I don't know what the answer is. But I will say this. I know that in the end, what is football? Like in the end, what is the game about? Right? The game is about acquiring real estate. That's basically it. I'm trying to acquire real estate. You're trying to prevent me from acquiring real estate to get to the goal. Right? So I'm allowed to kick it through the uprights and get 3 points. But if I penetrate and get it into your zone, I get 6. So the goal of the game is to protect that end zone, that 10 yards. Do not allow the ball into this 10 yards. So the offense's job is to get the ball into that zone. I know I'm being simplistic, but follow me here. If you're driving down the field and the ball comes loose and it goes through the end zone, well, what exactly is that? It's not a fumble out of bounds. It's a fumble through the end zone. You didn't get the ball into the end zone. So a punt that goes back through the end zone is a touchback. If a punt goes out of bounds, it's at the spot where it goes out of bounds. If a kickoff goes through the end zone, it's a touchback. If a kickoff goes out of bounds, it's a penalty. So those are two totally different spaces on the field. But I just don't like it because I feel like on the scale, it doesn't seem fair. Right? If Mecole Hardman fumbled the ball at the 2 yard line and it rolled to the 1 and it was recovered at the 1, that's where the defense would have taken over. And we would say, that's fair. He fumbled at the 1. The ball was recovered at the one. That's where the Bills get it first and 10. So avoid the safety, Josh Allen, but that's where you get the ball. But because it goes further into the zone and goes out, they get it at the 20. But here's the other part. Nobody recovers the football. So on the one hand, I feel like the defense, it's hard to give it to the defense. They didn't actually recover it. But I can't give it to the offense either because you fumbled it in the field of play through the end zone. So I'm trying to understand it, but I don't know what the solution is. But that would have changed everybody. Like, we would be buzzing about this for hours today if the Bills had gone on to win that football game. Because the Bills' drive that ended up in the Tyler Bassman's field goal came from that play. And that play was set up by a extremely, I don't know what they were thinking, except there were just 10 men on the field for Kansas City, fake punt by Sean McDermott. Were the Bills that desperate at that point to try this? Trailing in the football game? They were trailing, and they went for a fake punt. And unfortunately, DeMar Hamlin, who has had zero action this year, except for two things. There was a belief that he was the 12th guy on the field against the Broncos on the field goal that the Broncos missed and then got a second chance. But nobody really confirmed that. Other than that, he's hardly played at all. And he's the one that gets tackled by Kansas City, who had 10 men on the field, and it didn't matter. The Bills couldn't convert. And so Kansas City goes down with the ball and a chance to go down the field. They get down to the goal line. They try something tricky. Like, Isaiah Pacheco is running the ball great. And Andy Reid dials up this reverse type of pitch play to Mecole Hardman that he's looping over to the left side. And whoops, he fumbles it through the end zone. And the Bills get the ball first and 10 at the 20-yard line. And then the Bills start marching down the field. They convert a fourth down. They get set up, throw it to the end zone. Open receiver, but comes up short because it was kind of tipped. Threw it down to Stephon Diggs, who missed it. And they settle for a field goal that would have tied the game. And then they miss. But there was a minute 44 on the clock. So I don't know what I just don't know how to fix the rule. I think I agree with people. It just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel like it's fair. I understand it. But here's the thing. I don't believe the reports that came out that said the league is looking into fixing this. I don't believe that. You know why I don't believe that? It was too soon. They've done this before. They have voted on this before. They have said we're not changing it. The idea that how in the world did a reporter or anybody on Twitter talk about this in a second. They must have either A, been talking about it before, and then they just brought it up to say, oh yeah, one of the things they're going to be talking about when they get to the owners meeting in the offseason is a touchback through the end zone rule. Okay, but they're going to talk about a bunch of rules too. This is not going to be the first thing on the menu.
Yeah, you know what? I think a reporter assumed because this is what happens after a Bills-Chiefs game.
Sure, exactly. So, they didn't call seven owners at their house at that moment, and they went, oh, yeah, we all just, it's funny that you mentioned that. We were all on a Zoom call as soon as it happened to say, hey, when we get to Daytona Beach or wherever the hell they're meeting this offseason, that's the first thing we're going to talk about.
Fumble through the end zone rule. We're changing it?
Yeah.
But, I mean, what can you change it to? That's my question.
That's the thing. I don't know what to change it to. I'm like, I looked this up last night. I was, like, really trying to get into, a real deep dive to try to find, a legitimate understanding. And I found a couple of things, Gene Serator had talked about this at one point. And it kind of made sense. But at the same time, it still was like, eh. I didn't get, the one piece of information that made me go, oh, okay, that makes total sense now. I think we're overreacting to this. I didn't quite see it. All right, more on the NFL, but I do want to get to a bit of news just before the playoff weekend that happened on Friday.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, we've been talking NFL playoffs again as the Kansas City Chiefs will take on the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC. And then in the NFC, San Francisco hosting the Detroit Lions. again, I like sentimental stories in sports. It's one of the reasons that we do it. It's kind of, they're kind of cool. And I think a lot of America is going to they love the Lions story. You know, you've got San Francisco. San Francisco's been in a million of these championship games, from Colin Kaepernick, Alex Smith, to now Brock Purdy. They've been in a ton of these recently. Ton of them. Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, and here are the Lions. The Lions. This is one thing does not belong here kind of thing. And they beat the Buccaneers yesterday. Good game. That was a good game. It was a better game than I thought. In fact, I give it up to Green Bay. I'll give it up to Houston because, again, Houston showed up and it was a 10-10 game. I give it up to Green Bay and Tampa Bay. I felt like that these conferences were so top-heavy that I just didn't really see underneath the cake underneath. And I thought, you know, hey, the Buccaneers were all right. Hey, the Green Bay, they were all right. Yeah, you can have some fun in the postseason. All right. But in the end, Tampa Bay had their chances to win that game. Green Bay had their chances to win that game. So I give it up for those two teams. In the end, you know, home teams prevailed in those two situations. The only road team that won was Kansas City, beating the Bills at Highmark. But nevertheless, the Lions and Dan Campbell way advanced in their story. And I just gave Jim Nantz some credit for his call of the wide right call. I thought that was brilliant. I got to give it to Mike Tirico. This was pointed out on Twitter as well yesterday by a couple of people in the business. He lives in Michigan. I don't know if he's from Michigan. I know he went to Syracuse, but he lives in Michigan. And you can kind of tell when they did those shots of Michigan and they did those, like, here's a restaurant and here's a place to go. Those little cutaway shots that they had. He really knew the area. He knew the area. He knew the people. Like, he knew he's done two games now there in the playoffs. And he really brought to life that area of the country for people who don't get to see it very often on national TV in the playoffs of the NFL. But he was not biased in the game. He really did. When the Buccaneers scored and made it a very, very close game, he was as excited for the possibility of a close game, for the possibility of the Buccaneers making this a contest. So I give him a lot of credit. I know his heart was pulling for an area of the country that has not seen NFL success in a very, 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 very long time. I mean, they talked about the 50s. And the early 60s. And that's about it. But again, when Mike Evans scored the touchdown and made it a one-score game, I mean, he was as thrilled for the Buccaneers' opportunity to make this a contest than he was with the Lions. But it was a good game. I thought the Lions had put it away when they went up 31-17, but give the Buccaneers a chance. I
don't think they would have gotten that. The two-point conversion if they had scored a touchdown.
I don't understand that. I thought Todd Bowles overthought that situation. Yeah. I mean, I was trying to explain it to my wife. I'm like, yeah, I get it. You don't want to go into overtime. I can understand his thought process of if I just get it here, I don't have to get it if I get the ball back and score. But it does put the pressure on you to get it when you have to get it at the end of the game. Like, the game can be decided on a failed 2-point conversion. Why not just get the 7 and then just see what happens? You want to go for it? Put the game in the hands saying we don't want to play for overtime. We're going to try to win it right here. If the opportunity presents itself and you score late, okay, that's up to you. They're giving Todd Bowles a bunch of heat because he had a timeout in the can and he didn't use it. And he said after the game, he said, I didn't, doing the math of the clock, the Lions had knelt down with like 30-something seconds remaining.
Yeah.
And he could have called timeout and forced a field goal. And had they missed the field goal, which is, it could happen. It may not be likely, but it could happen. Then he gets the ball back with 30-something seconds to see if they can do some miracle play. And, or better yet, how about blocking the field goal and returning it for a touchdown? You never know. And people are criticizing him saying, look, we get it. These are these aren't high probability plays, right? They're very, very few. You're probably not going to get a missed field goal, and you're probably not going to get a field goal blocked return for a touchdown. But you didn't give your team a chance to do that when you could have, and it cost you nothing to do it.
Yeah. I kind of look at it as, when you're watching a basketball team, especially in college basketball, when we're watching the NCAA tournament, and a team's up by five.
but there's 5 seconds left and they're still fouling the other players.
Right.
You know,
right.
I kind of look at it that way. Like,
It's going to take some threes. It's going to take maybe a half court shot. Yeah,
it's a long shot. I see why you're doing it. You're not giving up hope. I mean, 30 seconds. I don't know if they would have, because they needed a touchdown. And then they needed a 2-point conversion on top of that.
But I think the people's point is not that that would have happened. I think the people are saying, you just didn't even give them a chance. Like, stranger things have happened in this league. You know, like, we don't get the, you know, Minnesota miracle. We don't get, there are so many plays that have happened where we don't get 13 seconds. You know what I mean? Like, what if Andy Reid just went like, eh, you know, whatever. You know, like he didn't even give the team a chance to say, hey, look, I got 30 seconds. I know I have no timeouts, but let's get a chance. But I think it was overly criticized. I think he was probably like, yeah, look, they're going to kneel down. Let's get out of here. And
no, they got the first down. It a chance. It was just, you know, I think that was when they already, you know, once the Lions had gotten that last first down and just knew the game was sealed. Yeah, everyone was in finishing up mode. It's like, season's over.
But the Lions knelt too quickly.
Yes,
that's where the controversy came, because it was you had a timeout. It was third down. They knelt down, and that there is 30 something seconds. If he calls a timeout, it's a field goal with 30 something seconds. Miss, and you get the ball right there with 30 something seconds. So that's, you know, there was no other opportunity for the Lions. They stopped the clock. Now I think if you're the Lions, what you'd have to do is, you could go, well, we won't kick the field goal. We'll just run around and have you chase us for 30 seconds. But you're running into a problem there. But I think he didn't. Maybe there was just some thought of, whatever. Just, we're done. Let's just wrap this up. And not really doing kind of the math. But he got a little barbecued for this, because he didn't strategically utilize that final timeout. Never, you know, you're never supposed to leave a close game with any timeouts on the board, and he left a close game, a one-score game with a timeout on the board. But nevertheless, Lions go play San Francisco, and we've got the Ravens, a battle of MVP quarterbacks, and Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, and the heartbreak for the Bills continue. All right, I do want to get to something, because I know I'm going to forget today, because we've got a lot of football, and I don't want to do it Tuesday or Wednesday when doing previews and whatnot. I want to do it because it happened on Friday, and that was the news that Sports Illustrated is going to be no more. I don't want to get to the business side of it, but because the business side of it is wild. It's basically a trademark that expired, and it's owned by another company, and it basically is dead. If you want to look it up, look it up. I'm not going to bore you with the details. It's dead, but it's been dying for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
This is finally the nail in a long coffin that has been happening for this publication for quite some time. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, it's a new media. It's a new world of media. Sports Illustrated didn't adapt. They did adapt. They had a very strong online presence, and they had a strong online presence for a long time. I agree with a lot of pundits who said that one of the reasons they got hurt was they should have done what The Athletic did, right? The Athletic, if you subscribe to The Athletic, that is the only way you get to read their content, right? That's it. You could read a Sports Illustrated magazine in the doctor's office, but somebody paid for the magazine. The Athletic, you have to buy it. If you don't buy it, you don't get to read it. They don't give free articles. You don't get 5 a month. None of that stuff. You either buy it or you don't buy it. But if you don't buy it, you don't read it. And Sports Illustrated didn't navigate that the right way for online. So you could get 5 free articles a month. People went, all right, cool. I'll just take my 5 free articles a month. There's a whole bunch of other options. But I think the reason in the end why it failed was because what it was for is gone. And what it was for, and I'm not trying to be overly poetic about this, but what it was for, it was for a lot of people the final statement of an event they already saw happen. That's what it was. Sports Illustrated didn't tell you who won games. They told you how they won games. But they did it days later. You'd watch the Super Bowl on Sunday. You'd read it in Sports Illustrated on Thursday or Friday. It was the finality of that event. It was written not in as a who, what, where, when, and why article, like an Associated Press. It was written with poetic language and flowery language and a description with quotes and a sense of being there as to find out exactly what happened. We live in a world where that's now done immediately by good writers. It's not necessarily something people are waiting 3 or 4 days to read. Like, imagine reading about the real nitty-gritty details of this playoff game yesterday between the Bills and the Chiefs on Thursday or Friday. We don't live in that world anymore. And that's, in the end, where the decline of this magazine happened. People can get information and instant analysis way quicker than waiting in the mail.